In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's giving us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let love invade. Let the church live loud, our God will say. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe.
The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaney Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
Love will follow me all the days of my life. reading from the Gospel of Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and village and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we going to buy 200 denarii of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And they found out, and they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them. And all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Here endeth the reading. Please pray with me. O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God forever and ever. Amen. As we make our way through the church year in our 3-year lectionary, just about every Sunday during the current season, the season between Pentecost and the beginning of Advent, has a theme. 2 weeks ago, the theme was being sent out for ministry. 3 weeks ago, the theme was death, healing, and life. The readings this week seem to have one clear theme. That theme is sheep. I don't know much about sheep, and I don't like much being informed that the followers of the God of Abraham and the followers of Jesus are like sheep. As I said, I know nothing about sheep, and I wonder if there's anyone here who has ever owned a flock. No. I do know a little bit about cows and chickens, because my mother grew up on a dairy farm in Delaware County, and 2 of her sisters married farmers, where I spent a lot of time. One had dairy cows, and the other had chickens. Lots of chickens. Dairy cows are relatively bright. Chickens are not. Sheep are somewhere in between. Images of shepherds and sheep are very common in the literature of the Middle East of biblical times. Sheep needed a leader and the guidance to keep them safe and even fed. Religious leaders and kings were portrayed as shepherds. They were supposed to take care of their flocks. Some leaders failed spectacularly. Jeremiah preaches about the failure of King Jehoiakim, who utterly failed his people. Jehoiakim was definitely a bad shepherd. Professor Rolf Jacobson of Luther Seminary humorously suggested this Sunday should be called Bad Shepherd Sunday, as opposed to Good Shepherd Sunday, Marie's favorite Sunday, which is the 4th Sunday of Easter. A brief aside to establish the context of Jeremiah. The kingdom of Judah, in which was included the city of Jerusalem, was a vassal state to Babylon. In the book of Kings, it says, quote, "Jehoiakim taxed the land and extracted the silver and gold from the people of the land," end quote. Babylon and Egypt were the superpowers of that time. Jehoiakim, for unknown reasons, switched his allegiance to Egypt. Big mistake. The Babylonians then invaded and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. So, after taking the people's wealth, Jehoiakim got them killed. Not a good shepherd to the flock. The prophets, Jeremiah included, usually inject some hope in their warnings, in their prophecies. Jeremiah promised that, quote, God will place over them shepherds who care for them, and will raise up a righteous descendant from David's time, and he will rule as a wise king. Of course, there never was another king, and no king like David. King David had been dead for 500 years, and the city of Jerusalem itself would be destroyed in Jeremiah's lifetime. The Davidic line, such as it was, died with the city. 500 years after Jeremiah's prophecy, a Messiah was born. He was nothing like a king, which was what was hoped for by the people. He had no army. He had no weapons. He did not appear on horseback. He appeared as a newborn infant, born to an unwed teenager in an out-of-the-way place. He is, the Good Shepherd. As it says in the reading from Mark today, Jesus, quote, the Good Shepherd, saw a great crowd and he had a compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. As he was finishing his teaching, it was noted that it was late and they were in a deserted place. These were desperate people, and they had come to this deserted place just for the chance to touch the fringe of Jesus' cloak and to have the chance of being healed. They are desperate. They don't stand in line. They push through the crowds in order to touch his garment. Those of us who are always organized would never go out for an afternoon with the family, even to pick blackberries, without hats and sunscreen and snacks and wet wipes and extra diapers if necessary. But the people chasing after Jesus were desperate, really desperate. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, tells his disciples to give the people something to eat. The disciples were, of course, confused. But in the end, 5,000 men and presumably an equal or larger number of women and children were fed. Let's compare Jesus' compassion and the miracle of the feeding of thousands with only a little bread and a couple of fish with the banquet of which we read last week. In last week's gospel, Herod threw a big banquet. In the version of the story known as the Message, we read, quote, a portentous day arrived when Herod threw a birthday party, inviting all the brass and blue bloods of Galilee. Herodias' daughter entered the banquet hall and danced for the guests, end quote. There is no problem in understanding which man, Jesus or Herod, was the true shepherd of his people. Another thing to note in this reading from Mark is the frenzied nature of the activity. The people, quote, hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them, end quote, rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats, end quote. In Mark's gospel, events always happen quickly and in rapid succession. The words immediately or at once appear 40 times in Mark's gospel. The urgency of the gospel and the people's need for it are too great to waste any time. In this story, Jesus tries to take the apostles to go on a short retreat because they hadn't even had time to eat or to rest. But Jesus and his disciples were inundated with people seeking healing and just wanted to be with Jesus and to learn from him. I suspect that might be true for you. So many people want a piece of your time that you can get no rest. Perhaps this season of working from home has made this even worse. Since I have a chance, and I have the microphone, let me talk about St. James and the staff and volunteers. Some thought, I know, when the pandemic began last March, the staff locked the doors, put up their feet, and got caught up on their reading. Not so. As a somewhat involved observer, I noted that there was very little time to get away to a quiet place. At times, I even worried about some people's health. We are now mostly through the wilderness of the pandemic. Jesus does call us all to be shepherds of each other. The staff and the volunteers were well and compassionately shepherded throughout this 16 months. Seven times in the Gospels, it mentions that Jesus had compassion. Compassion, it turns out, is a somewhat new concept. In very ancient times, the deities of the religions of the Middle East were violent and judgmental. Only in the 9th century before Jesus' birth did the concept of a compassionate God, or compassionate gods, appear among the Abrahamic religions. Douglas John Hall, writing in Feasting on the Word, points out that in today's gospel, quote, we are at the very center of our faith in Jesus' compassion for the crowd. Sheep without a shepherd is not a condemnation. It is the mark of his identification with his kind and will not achieve a full expression until at Golgotha. He has gone all the way, identifying with our lot, not only in birth and in life, but in death. We have a compassionate God. The question to us is, are we prepared to display that compassion as the church and as individuals to the community, to the world, and to ourselves? Amen.
On your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.